know, you can play with this stuff all day, but it is true. So a lot of instruments, traditionally, you can resist the way you're playing. So we're leading into our next tune. You have a lot of the Sparrow House sound in it. You have a lot of this music going on in these brothels, which have raves and bars. One tune, what tune do you do?
I'm going to do, no. Well, not in the do Give Me a Bigfoot and a Bottle of Beer. Because, now it was written by a man, but this is the sort of song I think that Mamie Lou would have sung in a whorehouse. But, you know, the men, I don't need this to have a talk.
I do?
Oh, okay. Yeah, this gives me a little oomph. Yeah. Jelly Roll Morton, the jazz that came out of whorehouses was strictly piano jazz. They didn't have Bingham. They had piano. And Jelly Roll Morton played at Lulu White's, which was the classiest whorehouse in New Orleans. And it was only for white customers to go to bed with beautiful mulatto girls. And Jelly Roll Morton was a black man, and he was hidden behind a sheet. They erected a sheet, and he played behind this sheet so that white men wouldn't be offended by the reality of the existence of black males, you know? Well, of course, that's true. Jelly Roll had quite a string of women. In his day. In fact, he thought of himself more as a pimp than as a musician, but he was such a great musician. He was the first jazz composer. But he had a lot of strings to his bow, you might say.
But Mamie Lou maybe was his female counterpart.
Yeah. And we don't know whether they put a sheet in front of Mamie Lou. Or probably not. You know.
Did he use music?
Oh, yeah, sure he wrote music. He was a composer. I mean, he was the first jazz composer. Yes, he did with the Hot Peppers. Yeah. I mean, he had music that was partly sections for improvisation and then sections for that were all totally written out. Oh, yeah, he was a good musician. He was a Creole, and they were trained in classical music.
And I just want to, before you play that, what comes to mind. In New Orleans, in that same period that he was around, it turns out there were, six to eight very fine women musicians. They weren't maybe playing behind sheets and whorehouses, but they were playing at picnics. They always had music in the community in New Orleans and most of this country in that era. And so there, and a couple of them are still alive. I've heard them play there. They're playing in a similar style.
I just learned this. The last song Linda and I did, we did this duet where Linda, where I did a Fats Waller tune and, called, it was about rent parties. Rent parties, I guess you know about rent parties. And when the cops came, Linda got to blow a whistle, which was really neat. But she just got embarrassed. So this is another song I just learned for the occasion. And this is a great song that I think Bessie Smith sang. I know Billie Holiday did a lot, sang it a lot. Up in Harlem, every Saturday night, when the highbrows get together, it's just too right. They all congregate at an all-night hop. And what they do is, old Hannah Brown, way across town, gets full of cone and starts and bring them down. And at the break of day, you can hear old Hannah say, give me a bigfoot and a bottle of beer, send me gay. Like I want a clown, give a piano player a drink because he's bringing me down. He's got rhythm when he stomps his feet. He sends me right off to sleep. Check all your razors and your gun. We're gonna be arrested when the wagon comes. I want a pig foot.
And she was the little piano girl playing away. They used to have people sitting in the window playing tunes, and that would attract customers coming to buy sheet music. And somehow, the word got out that she was really good, and she ended up being playing with the best group of jazz musicians of the era, being Louis Armstrong, who's been second trumpet, and Joe King Oliver. And all those guys had just come up from New Orleans. And she could read music, which was a huge plus, because none of them could. So she ended up teaching me some how to read, and she donated music, and she wrote a lot of tunes. She also played right up to the very moment of death. She literally died on stage during the tribute to her band.
Somebody who was with
Sister
Somebody was with the Preservation Jazz Band.
Oh,
and they brought her in on a stretcher.
Oh,
to play.
She was one of the Emma Barrett, Sweet Emma Barrett.
Sweet Emma Barrett, that's who it was.
Yeah. Do you want to do a tune by Lil Martin Stratton? If you want.
You'll recognize it. What's interesting is I don't think a lot of people know that this song was written by Lil Hardin.
Okay.
You know, and it was
yeah.
Classic song, piece, and one of the seminal recordings by the Armstrong Hot Five band, you know, which was introducing a whole new way of playing jazz, because Armstrong was the first real jazz soloist. And the backup band was kind of stiff, you know, but Lil wrote this song, and it's a wonderful song. I'll play some of it. About four notes missing here in the left hand, where I really need them.
Okay.
But anyway, that's the song.
Well, thank you. I mean, for me, I love that era of music, and I always keep kind of impressed that it makes me feel better. But what I wanted to do now was I wanted to move away from piano players for just a second. We could do an entire thing on piano players, but I was going to Ballet of Snow. Now, she came slightly after Lil Hardin, but she was known in Europe as Lil Lewis. She was a queen of the trumpet of House de Trello now, very popular. A lot of people haven't heard of her, but she's, from the records that have come out, has brought her popularity. Listen to her on trumpet here. Thank you. Still playing it.
Yeah.
New Jersey. Now, this algae gives me an absolute algae. For anybody who's interested in hearing a variety of different women players who normally wouldn't be up front and on, wouldn't be able to hear. One step. But moving right along is just so much to cover. So we moved right into the swing. Everybody knows the Dodgers, right?
Big band?
Big band. Yes, big bands. And without going into a lot of detail about it, I covered it pretty thoroughly in my book. And frankly, I don't have a lot more to say, except that women were pretty much excluded from most of the big bands.
But they can.
They did sing at this point. And they formed their own big band. And as they've been doing since the 1700s, forming orchestras in women's groups. In the 30s, really saw a lot of activity in classical music and in jazz. So, I think I need that out now. Because this is a wild thing. This was, I think it's 1933 or 1934. And it's Ina Ray Cunningham for Mellow Years, which was an all white women's big band. Followed in time by, what's the name of this? The International Sweetheart Rhythm, which began as a band for orphans, I think not just black children, but also other minorities in the South, in Pine Ridge, Mississippi. And as a fundraising thing, they put together this band and it became a hugely famous band years later, and integrated, became the first integrated black and white women's band.
Just in terms of historical continuity, we have Carmen Gray, who was a bass player in the Sweetheart Rhythm, who's about 55 now, was in my band, Ariel, as a bass player.
speaking of arrangers, one of the very best arrangers for Dickens is Mary Williams, who, a new play, tune writer, but of course a wonderful piano player. She wrote and arranged for all of the big bands, and she was out, but she preferred the Freeman. Didn't want to, like, be hired by any of the big bands, and without going into any more detail about her, many people consider her to be the most important woman in jazz. She was just a phenomenal in the past. She was just a phenomenal musician. Or at a later date when the woman's band came to
It's not the one, that's not the one we were going to.
I couldn't find a way to.
That's older, that's an older style. That's this real stride style, sounds like that's Waller. You know, it's not really that much improvising, it's embellishing. Little embellishments of the melody and little trills and little curls. It's not really improvisation.
But still.
But later, there's another one.
She
could, I mean, she just covered all the styles. I mean, historically, she started with ragtime, and she went right up to very contemporary kinds of playing. She was just absolutely remarkable. She was one of the few pianists, in fact, male or female, one of the only ones. Most musicians can only play two styles, can only master in their lifetimes two styles of playing. And like nobody made the transition from swing to bop. Not even Coleman Hawkins, not really. The rhythmic, the differences in rhythm are too hard. Mary Lou is an amazing exception in the fact that she transcended all these styles and could play them all extremely well, really out of comprehension. Very deeply respected by the musical, male musical community. And you have to be somebody like Mary Lou, you know, you have to be a genius woman type to get that respect. This is typical song, lyric-wise, Billie Holiday, a tune that Billie Holiday loved to sing, which she did in the 40s, a typical song that represents and the lyrics were probably written by men, although they could have been written by women, just the same, the masochistic approach to what relationships, you know, which is dwelt on. I mean, even now, right, we have songs like, touch me in the morning, then just close the door. Leave me like you found me, empty like before. Wonderful stuff, you know. But so here's the 1930 version of that, the masochistic song of 1936, which is called Don't Explain. Now when I played this at Hunter, I was about, I played this song in the club, tears, you know, and deep sighs and Great Depression occurred. But at Hunter, they just cracked up through the whole song. They were hysterical. Hush now, don't explain. Just say you'll remain. Hush now, don't explain. In my joy, in my joy, my pain, skip back, let's stay. Don't explain. Loving you is all my thoughts are of you. Cause I'm so completely yours. And I cry to hear falls and chatter. I know you change. Yeah. Excuse me. You didn't laugh. Different crowd, different kind of crowd. Yeah, now this is this Alberta Hunter song is a whole different approach to a relationship with a man. Alberta comes out and says, and tells what she wants and says, God damn it, give it to me, and if not, the hell with you.
Thank you. Isn't that why we're here?
Yeah, we just only have 6 minutes left, so we're trying to like get everything in. I was saying that there's 15 pieces of the area.
One, I think.
Oh, and now you're the business? Let's move on. But if anybody is really interested in hearing more of spawning silverfish, there's information on the back of the album about another album she has. She also plays, like I said, one quite crazy, one straight ahead. Right?
Yeah, what you were saying, you know, contemporary.
Contemporary music. To finish up,
the book is only $12.95. It's right here. It's got an excellent review. It's very good. Really, it's very good. Being used as a text. I'm going to do a tune from my album, which is in the basic bebop tradition. This is, you know, this great bebop tradition called tunes, things like ornithology and anthropology and stuff. And it was kind of a spoof, a black spoof of white verbosity. Okay, so I decided I took O Privat, and I took Charlie Parker's solo off of it, and I wrote it, and I retitled it Gynecology, because I was really pissed at the male medical establishment, especially male gynecologists, and I'm sure you don't all identify with that. Now, I'm sorry about this, I'm really shocked at the scan here, because any attempt of mine to do anything with my left hand is like thwarted. So if I play it all on this side, it will be in a more modern mode where the rhythm section is not so important, because I just can't play strive with my left hand when it's not when it's coordinated. Okay, I'll try to sing this slow so you can get the word. If you're hurting, better get yourself a gynecology man. Ooh, doctor, I am suffering, and the buffering ain't been doing nothing to straighten out my little scene. I ain't a good thing. That's why your feet are really frightening. Listen, missus, whatever this is, you must pay the bill before you're out of the straps. Speaking obstetrically, there's a little feller in your belly. He's just a tiny little cat. You're trapped. That's a rip-rap. Now let's sit down and talk some money. Now if you're a crazy married lady, here's a plan to really grab you. If you want to lose a child, do it for a price, it's wild. But if you decide to have a tiny little person, all for free, I will give to thee a life supply, a pampers man. Now if the price of pleasure was too high to pay, if $9,000 a gin and riding horses make you cringe, and if you feel it's base, you throw yourself down a staircase. Just have no fear, the federal officers, scooby-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-ya.
Because when you're in my lab, I'm going to fix up the tab. Doc, I'm such a creep, I think that I'm keeping this baby. I live with 30 liberal people in one communal family. At the bath, the cats are also laid back in here. Communal fatherhood will be just another crazy new trip. Home I went into my extended family, a 30 irrepressible crazy man. We had some reunion, the devil's formed, daddy's union. Now Carl was carving me a crib, and Sam's sewing a bib. Slappy has learned to fold a nappy, kid is knitting something fitting for the tiny digits of a prodigal baby. Milk is patching a quilt. Bob and Jim have come and trimmed their long hair and stuffed it up with teddy bear. And Max bought rubber pants. Manny has found an English nanny. There's a rhythm section behind me on the piano. Okay. I just wanted to do one more song. This is, my writing has been leading me into strange channels. And this, do you all know about Maribel Morgan and the total woman concept and how you can hold your man for 30 or 40 years, you know, if you just have enough negligees, different ones, and you show up at the front, you know, when he comes home tired from work, you know, you have this new garter belt on. It's gonna hold his attention. Yeah. So I thought that she needed a song. You know, the movement doesn't have a song. And so I've written this song. I don't know if it's finished yet, really. I may add some more verses. It's called The Total Woman. Now, this isn't exactly jazz, but then again, country music has got a lot of gospel elements in it. You know, so does Keith Jarrett. So where do you draw the line? So I figure that's why I'm gonna sneak this in, you know. That's how I'm going to do it. I hope I remember this one kind of time. Send it to the paper just the way you like it. I bought a pick my teeth. Cooking a pot roast in a lazy garter belt. This little engine loves and cheap. Everything is sprayed. Everything's displayed. Why? Marinate the beef. Yes, and I'm a total woman. You're the captain, I'm the crew. You can't total a total woman. Kinda like a kidney stone part of you. Pawn mama's diamond ring. So I could hand in my apron at the Burger King. Ain't French and no fries outside of the home. Like the kids in the tool shed. Took bed left a home for the ages. So you and me could be alone. And although I already got 10, I'll untie my tubes again. Thank you very much. I hope that'll be on my next album. Where am I performing? I'm performing at 1/5 Avenue for a week starting April. I forget. If you'd like to be on my mailing list, you could write your here, and my album is only $8 with a personal inscription. And Linda will sell her book with a personal inscription too. For only $12.95. Any questions? I never said that. No, I never said that. You're putting words in my mouth. I didn't say. Did anybody hear me say that the rhythm section was not important? No. I never said it. I said that the rhythm sections, like if you listen to the Hot 5 recordings, you know, of Louis Armstrong, the rhythm sections are sad. If you listen to Body and Soul with Coleman Hawkins, that famous tune, it's not the rhythm section that's carrying the tune rhythmically. It's Coleman Hawkins' inflections and phrasing and attack. That's what I'm saying.
Well, there is one.
If there wasn't a bass, there were bass players ever since the very beginning of jazz in New Orleans, and if there wasn't a bass player, there was a tuba player. And they just simply did not, and the tuba player dragged the time down so badly that everybody needed all the help they could get to keep the rhythm going. And that's, we want to step outside them. God damn it. Alive? Well, from what I've heard of Alive, I mean, I don't hear that much strong jazz playing. I have a lot of respect for Alive. Alive and Ariel, my group, were both born at the same time, but for totally different reasons, and Alive made a 5-year commitment to each other. We didn't do anything like that. Our age ranges were from 20 to 55. Each of us had a totally different musical concept. We got, Alive is different.
You know, how do you define what jazz is?
I haven't heard
the
latest.
That's very, that's placed in it. And it all depends on, I suppose, in the end, you know, you want it. But you're comfortable with defining music today as. The fact that so many different influences have fed into the music. Some people will not be comfortable with the idea of live being a jazz person as well.
Just a little I've heard they don't swing very much. Kind of reminds me of Dave Brubeck, you know. Just doesn't swing much,
but
you know. And
yeah,
I think
you know,
somebody doesn't swing, it's not really.
Yeah.
That's right.
Might have a certain bias in one direction, and another person might have different notions.
Yeah.
Right.
So what is your definition of jazz?
I don't want to get into that. I've just been working for 2 hours and I'm too tired.
Oh.
We're finished. That's why I wrote a whole book on it.
mean, I'm telling you, if you want to know what I think about it, it's a chapter.
I think the point really is that this is a lecture on women having difficulties in jazz. So we got to kind of stick to that. Memorial concert for Mary Lou Williams at St. Peter's Church.
Yeah.